This is Leo Baybue for KTWH 99.5 FM, your Two Harbors Community Radio. I have really good fortune of catching up with Representative Mary Murphy today. Mary, our state representative for District 3B, that includes our town of Two Harbors proper, the area along the North Shore going down to Duluth Township and then through the outskirts of Duluth, wrapping up over to Hermantown, where I think I've reached you today, Mary.
I'm in Hermantown today, yes. It's a bright, sunny, beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. There'd be otherwise, just looking at the weather and that spring is coming along, you wouldn't know that we're in the midst of such an incredible time. Mary, have you ever exactly experienced something like what is going on with the COVID-19 pandemic since you've been in the legislature?
I never experienced anything like it, and I hope I never have to again. But I never even dreamt that it could happen this way. And yet, when it came, we were ready to fall in with what the orders we were given. And that was to go home and stay home and don't go near anybody that you don't usually associate with and stay out of crowds.
Yes, and you have legislators who are from all over the state in both the House and the Senate chambers. How early were you getting recommendations like that, and how much have the House and Senate met this past 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, we met up to through the 16th of March, and the last night on the 16th, we met almost all night. We were in recess for part, but then we started meeting again, and we finished up early in the morning. And then we were told, you know, to take whatever we had with us, because from now on we would be working at home. Well, I didn't, because I had some leftover things I had to do in my office, I thought. I stayed down for the whole week from the 16th, or the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. And then I came home on the 20th, and I've been working from home ever since.
Okay, so...
But by the 20th, there was no one left in the building at all. And I didn't, you know, I went to where I live when I go to St. Paul. I live in Brooklyn Center, and I go there. I went there every night, but I came in every morning. But there were fewer cars there every single day. And by the 20th, I think I saw one other person that morning, and so the place is cleaned out.
So the 20th, that would have been like a Friday at the end of a week, and it wasn't until officially till the 25th that Governor Walz issued those stay-at-home orders, but the legislature was already figuring out it's really hard to do deliberative committee work and meeting in large groups and to maintain social distancing. I don't know, are we coming back to be in person again, or are we on April 14th? I've been told through your aide, at least, that technically you'll be back in session.
That's yet to be determined.
Okay.
But it won't be, probably won't be before the 14th.
Yes.
Unless something comes to an emergency status, then we might be called back in like we were last week.
Okay.
But then even then, on Thursday, when session, we knew for 3 days we were going to have session on Thursday. And even then they asked for 30 volunteers to stay home and not show up. Because of they didn't want that many people meeting at one time. And so I stayed home.
Right.
Since I'd spent my extra days down there already.
Right.
And so, but we have been doing conference calls on the phone on a daily basis, and some committees have met. We did meet during our regular committee times. We had a couple, for a week, we had working groups. What we called working groups, and that's where at a regular time of meeting for committee, the chairs would call the Democrats for half the time and then hang up on them and then call the Republicans for the other half the time. And that went okay. We had to have the agendas. The agendas had to be the same for both political parties, but we didn't have any input from the people that attend our committee meetings that want to have a say over what we're talking about. We didn't have access to those people's comments. And so they got some feedback about that and said that that's is not inclusive enough. And so tomorrow is the big experiment with a committee meeting with the public.
Right.
Having the opportunity to meet. And that's going to be at 2:30. And it's going to be the rules committee is going to meet. And they're going to talk about how the rules have to be changed to allow for us to have committee meetings during our regular committee time period.
Yes.
With input from the public. And tomorrow's going to be the first example of that.
So, Mary, is that the session that I saw that would be held by Representative Winkler?
That's correct.
Okay, Ryan
Winkler. He's the majority leader and he's chair of rules.
So the complexity for those of us who aren't following as closely as we maybe could or should, and there's really no reason not to be glued to our Minnesota channel to learn more about our legislature as long as we're all staying at home, but I did want to try to sort out, you're working on developing policies for continuing to conduct committee meetings by, what do we call it? By
remote.
By remote web-based technology.
Yes.
And isn't this kind of more of establishing how we'll work going forward? Is it too late for this to actually be implemented this legislative session? I mean, you're kind of just creating the blueprint for doing this in the future, aren't you?
Well, I think it's going to might be the pattern that is established for the rest of the session.
So there is much more to the rest of the session. That wasn't immediately clear to me either, how much more business would be conducted in this non-budget year. I know you have through May 18th to be actively legislating, but what do you anticipate you're really going to try to work on? Has the leadership in both chambers made that clear? Has the governor asked for specific things to be done?
Both chambers have different leadership.
Indeed.
And so they're not necessarily on the same path.
Okay.
But committees are still have to, they've worked, you know, from February through March, and by tomorrow, April 1st, we're supposed to be through with our committee work.
Yeah.
And we're not.
No.
And so we have to try to catch up to that if we're going to have a committee bill.
Right.
However, more important than that is we still have some work to do with COVID-19.
Right.
That wasn't all settled last week.
Right.
During session. And so we have some issues that have to be settled.
Could you name some of them?
For our unemployed workers and that kind of thing. And the pay for unemployed workers and especially the school workers and laid off people, how they're going to get their unemployment insurance and that kind of stuff. Some answers still have to be resolved. And tomorrow's meeting of the Rules Committee will establish how we can vote remotely as well as listen to testimony of the public remotely.
Would not those recommendations need to then be voted on by the respective bodies?
I think they're going to find a way that the body doesn't have to do it.
Okay, because I was wondering about the rules of our legislature versus what the Constitution prescribes, because obviously we don't have enough time to be working on a constitutional change if that was needed.
Right. But we can establish different rules for committees.
So it could be that if the Rules Committee successfully defines process going forward, we could start having a lot of committee work happening remotely in a fairly short order. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And I think that's the goal.
Well, I know I only have you for a few minutes here today, Mary, and I want to make the most of that. And there are still specific COVID-19 related consequences, things that are rippling through our Minnesota economy and affecting families and workers that you think still need to be taken care of. Could you, I think you alluded to workers' comp. Is there a sick leave issue? What exactly can we still address, and what things cost and will change our budget?
I think we did a good job last Thursday on most issues, but there were some issues that didn't have resolution from all four all four leadership or all four parties
right.
in the House and the Senate, and so they didn't get taken up. And those were for the workers in the school districts that are hourly workers in the school districts, and bus drivers and
yes.
People that are regular. They're working today. Many of them are working still, delivering lesson plans
indeed.
And that kind of stuff.
Indeed, but not all. Yes,
that's
but not
right.
all.
And some are getting paid and some aren't. And we have to correct that. We have to make it all the same for everyone.
Yes, in our interview with Superintendent Crandall of Lake Superior District, he identified paying all the employees as an issue. So it is getting dealt with.
Yeah, okay. And we have to have, then there has to be more money.
Right.
Available to work on that. And so that education finance stuff has to be clarified. And then there's some human service things that still have to be taken care of. And then, as I said, with the Department of Economic Security, or the DEED,
yeah.
There's some issues with injustices in that manner, in those matters, too. And so they're going to have to come to agreement, and there has to be more money. And there is more money available, so there could very well be another session like last Thursday, if the parties can all come together.
And then, if the COVID-19-related contingencies are all covered to the best of everyone's ability, there remains all those other things that would need to have been addressed in this non-budget year, and that includes that big question of even bonding and where in the crystal ball does resolving what happens in bonding happen?
That might end up to be the most important thing that we do, because the bonding bill might very possibly become the economic stimulus bill.
Indeed.
To get us out and to get people off the labor benches and working in communities. And emergency projects in communities across the state are ready. There are enough projects ready to go that we could have a full working force as the COVID dies down and people get back to normal.
So, Mary, do you see the prospects as being relatively positive that we can have that addressed before May 18th? Or are we going to run out of time with the other contingencies on COVID-19 that need to be dealt with?
I think we can have a robust bonding bill of several billions of dollars that can become an economic stimulus and jobs bill for the people of Minnesota.
Okay.
That bring the communities together, that is balanced across the regions of the state, and have legitimate emergencies addressed.
Are there positive signals from the majority in the Senate that can happen from their perspective?
Yes.
Well, it's encouraging, very encouraging.
I think there will be a bonding bill, and we're working very hard to have it, like I said, a balanced bill that addresses emergencies and becomes an economic stimulus, takes care of the infrastructure for clean water and wastewater across the state, on housing across the state, and transportation that can be done for highways and local roads and bridges. Not trunk highway money, but local roads and bridges and emergency projects have to be addressed and will be.
Indeed. Are you just too busy to even have yet contemplated what might happen with a downturn in the amount of commerce that's happened as to what's going to happen to the tax collections and whether what used to be a projected surplus is heading towards a period of deficit revenue collection? Is it a concern?
I think that what you're saying is happening.
Okay.
And will continue to happen.
Yeah.
And so the surplus was a projected surplus.
Right.
And we don't have that. Thankfully, Governor Dayton insisted that we have reserve funds for a rainy day. And although it's a beautiful sunshiny day here in northeastern Minnesota, the rain has fallen and it's called COVID-19. And so we were able to have addressed from the rainy day fund some of the issues that came up. With COVID-19. And so we were not left wondering, whose bank do we have to rob for this?
Yes.
We had planned ahead for the rainy day, and the rainy day is COVID-19.
Mary, about how many million dollars is the special spending that was allocated through the legislation of a couple of weeks ago?
$320 million.
320.
And 320 million.
I hope it was. Yeah, I did a double take there.
320 million.
I thought even the federal budget would notice that many billions.
No, 320 million.
And fortunately, that the amount of surplus that was already, of what has already been collected, is going to make that possible for us to do, because we can't run an unbalanced budget.
That's right. The state of Minnesota has to have a balanced budget.
So, Mary.
And that's why sometimes we have to have special sessions.
Yeah.
If the economy turns down. But
Do you imagine there's any chance that if this COVID-19, because this is an illness that's unprecedented, if it plays out over a longer period of time or has unexpected impacts, is it possible that you could be back under a special session if more relief is needed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe, Mary, if we could leave it with this, we're living through this uncertainty and fear, loss of lives and livelihoods that have been really curtailed. And, you know, we're hoping that count on our society to have everybody helping everyone else. What, at this time, are really your greatest concerns, and how do you see us getting through this crisis?
Well, I think we take it a day at a time, and we don't plan, you know, we don't make big, exciting plans that have to become disappointments because we can't meet it.
Yeah.
I think helping your neighbors, or making sure that your neighbors or people that are in your family, that we're touching base more often, and we're doing it through the phone or through the technology that's available to us. Which brings us up to another point, and Representative Rob Eklund is hearing it a lot more than I am, but yesterday and today I've heard it from four different calls about broadband and fiber optics and making sure that everyone's able to get computer services in their neighborhood.
Indeed.
And in their community. And it's different all over the place, but there are dead spots in Lake County, and there are dead spots in St. Louis.
There are indeed, yes. Including my own township of Alden was left out of the Lake County broadband project, and
yep.
We are part of an attempt to apply for grants from the state.
Yep, and that's what we have to do, and we've had sufficient many issues addressed to those problems, and they're being addressed, but slowly, because in less populated areas, they just aren't economically, they haven't been up to this time. But now that the kids are on home school, or
the distance learning that they're doing now.
Distance learning.
Yeah.
They can't be driving into the school grounds in order to get their computers hooked up to Wi-Fi in the parking lot. That's not a sustainable attitude.
No.
We have to get computer services across the state.
Well, it took a crisis of pretty wide magnitude for us to understand the value of that investment, I see.
Yes.
Well, Mary, I think we need to leave it at that. I know you have to go, and I really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
It was fun talking to you again.
Yeah, let's do this it's a very sunny day, but let's do this under sunnier social circumstances as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. You take care.
Thank you, and stay well.
Thank you. You the same to you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
That was Representative Mary Murphy of Hermantown. That's where her home is, and she represents District 3B in the Minnesota State House, which includes Two Harbors, Larsmont, Knife River, Duluth Township, Lakewood, and then on up into the outback areas, Rice Lake Township, etc., on the way out west towards Hermantown. Long story short, she represents the community of Two Harbors in the legislature, and a lot of us that listen to the radio here at KTWH. This is Leo Babeau, and this interview was recorded on Tuesday afternoon, March 31st, 2020. We're glad you're listening in to ktwh.org, 99.5 FM, as we bring you as much as we can of the implications, the changes that are happening in our community in response to COVID-19, and finding out more about how we can help make a difference. So keep tuned in to Two Harbors Community Radio. Thanks for listening to KTWH.